Today's shir is Masechta Pesachim Daf Chaf Aleph. We're going to begin at the new parak Kol Shah. This mission that we're going to learn now is really continuation, as we will see in the Gemara, of what we learned previously in the last parak before we began the sugya of Chanina Sekana Kahanim about chametz on Erev Pesach, what may or may not be done with it at different times. Teaches us the Mishnah. As long as somebody may eat chametz, he could feed the chametz to his animals. Behem, as we know, means domesticated animals. Chai means undomesticated animals. Uloifus means birds. And like the Tzlach points out, the reason the Mishnah used the terminology of kol shah, every hour, not kol zman, every time, because as we learned and mentioned a moment ago, there are different shois, there are different hours on Erev Pesach that have different halachas. So the Mishnah is focusing on every hour specifically. And the Mishnah is teaching us that as long as you're allowed to eat the chametz, you could feed it to an animal, that means you're allowed to have hanor from it. And you could sell it to a guy, which many mefarshim take as the source for what we do called mechiras chametz. We sell chametz to the guy as long as it's before the zman that it's asr. Although there's an interesting tefuah shor. The tefuah shor says the reason we're allowed to do mechiras chametz is because midraisa we already did bittul, as we discussed in the previous parak. So you don't really have an issue with the chametz midraisa. The entire issue is only midrabanan, and although the mechira he says is not some sort of a harama, it's not really something that we ever intend that the deal is going to go through all the way. That's why it's only drabanon and haram is mutter. Therefore, he says, let's say somebody owns animals, and the only food that he could feed the animals on Pesach is chametz. So he also wants to do a deal. He'll sell the animals to a guy for Pesach, so the guy could feed the animals chametz. There, we're dealing already with a daraisa, and you're not allowed to do that. Many Paiskim disagree with the Tefuah Shor, and they say that the Mechira is a full-fledged Mechira. It works both by the Rabbana and the Raisa, and you could sell the animal too. Although I saw a very interesting psak from Yitzchak Zilberstein. He says that Mechira's Chametz, we try to do it as much as a business transaction as possible. And therefore, he says that we should have witnesses for the transaction. So let's say I ask a specific rabbi to be my shliach, my messenger in selling the chametz, and then I happen to be around and the rav asks that I should be a witness to this sale, I shouldn't agree, because I'm in the gevedavah. Since I'm part of this sale, we know that a witness who has a personal interest in the transaction is a disqualified witness. So you should not be a witness to the mechira of the chametz where your chametz is one of the chametzes that are being sold. And you mutter have anah. Of zmanai, once the time passes, os b'hanosai, then you're not allowed to have anah anymore. Now Rashi makes a very interesting comment at the beginning of the Mishnah. Rashi says the point of our Mishnah is not to tell us that as long as you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to have anah. Of course, as long as you're allowed to eat it, you're allowed to have anah. He says the point of the Mishnah is what's inferred, that when you're not allowed to eat it, you're also not allowed to have hanor. Ask the Sfas Emes if that's what the point of our mission is, as Rashi is saying, and it's really something we're going to see in the Gemara. So why does the Mishnah have to repeat the words of Vazmanai also b'hanosai? Of course, isn't that the same as the first line? So the Sfas Emes answers that the point of the first line is to teach us a bigger chiddush. Of Vazmanai also b'hanosai means that after this man of chametz is asr, I'm not allowed to give the animal, my animals, the chametz to eat. But what about somebody else's animal? Or about the animals of hefker? Maybe I would be allowed to give them the chametz to eat. That's why the first line in the Mishnah teaches us, I'm not allowed to have any hanor, even to give it to an animal of hefker, or to an animal that I don't own. The Rosh Yosef says a different tarets. The Rosh Yosef says, if I only had the line of ovazmanu asr b'hanosai, I would think that I'm not allowed to give an animal, I'm not allowed to have hanor only when the chametz is asr midraisa. But what about when the chametz is also midrabbanan? Maybe I'm allowed to have hanah. That's what the Mishnah teaches us, that even when the chametz is only also midrabbanan, I'm not allowed to have hanah from the chametz. There's an interesting machlokas Rashi in Tosfos. Tosfos says, what happens if somebody, after the chametz is also b'hanah, goes and sells the chametz, gets cash for the chametz? Is that cash considered like chametz? Is it toifas tomif? That's the halachic terminology. Is that cash considered like chametz? What would be the shaila? Let's say somebody would be mekadosh nisha with that money. Would the kedushin be kedushin or not? Because like we learned and we'll learn today, he can't be mekadosh with chametz. Tosfos says that it would not be a problem, and you could use that money, if you sold chametz that you shouldn't have, to be mekadosh nisha. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says that the status of chametz is transferred onto the money. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos, and therefore the halacha is if you sold chametz, even when it's also b'hanah, that money doesn't have the status of chametz. If you mekadosh a woman with it, the kedushin is valid. The loyasik by Tanav Karayim, the halacha is that the chametz after it's also b'hanah cannot be used for fuel to heat an oven. Rehudaimer ain't be a chametz el sreifa. The only way to accomplish be a chametz is by burning it. The chama imrim af mefazer the zayir leruach. You don't have to do beer. You could throw it into the wind or mat liyam or throw it into the ocean. Now, according to the gears of our Mishnah, the chachama are not disallowing burning. They're saying that burning is not your only option. You have other options: mefazer the zayir leruach or mat liyam. The Rif and Ran don't have the girsa of Af, and according to them, the Chacham are specifically saying that you should not burn it, you should actually rather be Mefaza or Zoruch Liyam. Why? Because if you burn it, they learn, you'll have the ashes. And the ashes you also not have Hanor from. So that's why they say you should do something that won't remain ashes even. However, most Paiskim, and that's what the Ramah says, that the Chacham agree that burning is the preferable method, and the Mishnah is telling us that the Chacham hold you could also do mefaz of a zoil ruach, but the Chacham agree that the most preferential method is to actually burn it.
Is Eifer mutter or us?
The Eifer we'll talk about in Amar Beis. Says the Gemara, Kol shashemut lechol machal. As the Mishnah said, that as long as you can eat the chametz, you can feed it. And the diuk, the inference is, as we said when we learned the Mishnah, hakosh ena mutalachol, when you're not allowed to eat the chametz, ena machol, you're not allowed to feed it to anyone else. Leimim asnisin, like Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah, at first glance, does not agree with what we learned from Rabbi Yehuda in the previous parak. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, hakech chamesh, there's the fifth hour, the ena oichol, where according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're no longer allowed to eat chametz. However, machal, you could feed the chametz to your animal. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Ramei Oimer Oichlin Kol Chametz, chametz could be eaten during the fifth hour, for Sofim Tchil Shesh. Reb Yehuda Oimer Oichlin Kol Arba, you're allowed to eat chametz only the fourth hour, but Toilin Kol Chametz, you have it in sort of suspended state. You don't eat, but you don't burn during the fifth hour, for Sofim Tchil Shesh, and you burn in the sixth hour. So Rabbi Yehuda will not work with our Mishnah, because in the fifth hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to eat it, but you're still allowed to have Hanah. And our Mishnah says eating and having Hanah travel together. And like Tosfos points out, usually when the Gemara says Lema, the like Rabbi Yehuda, let's say it doesn't work with Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says that the Gemara usually is saying, I'm going to try to say it, but then I'm going to be able to fit it in with Rabbi Yehuda. Now Tosfos says that actually we won't be able to fit it in, that our Mishnah should work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So what was the point of the Mishnah? The point of the Gemara, the Tosfos says, is that the Gemara in the Havamina thought that it won't work according to Rabbi Yehuda, but will work according to Rameya. And now the Gemara is going to prove that even according to Rameya, our Mishnah won't work. Why? Because there's a fundamental question in our Mishnah. El Rameya. We're saying that our Mishnah is going according to Rameya, and according to Rameya, in the fifth hour, you're allowed to eat the chametz, and therefore you're also allowed to feed it. The sixth hour, you can't eat, and you can't have anah. So it says, but then we have a problem. That's the way Rashi understands the problem. The Mishnah's terminology is difficult. The Mishnah says, the beginning of the Mishnah, the first words were, Kasha Shemuta Lechol Machal Behema, which seems to indicate that the Mishnah is talking to two different people. Kasha Shemuta Lechol, as long as I'm allowed to eat it, Machal, someone else, could give it to the animals. Who are the two people? We're talking about one and the same person. And according to Ramei, isn't the Mishnah telling us that as long as I may eat the chametz, I can feed it? So the Mishnah should have just said, Kol she'oichel, as long as I could eat it, machel, I could feed it. Why does the Mishnah say, Kol she'mutal echel? That's what the Gemara says. Well, my, you're saying that our Mishnah is going, according to Ramei, Hi Kol she'mutal echel, machel. Why does the Mishnah use the language a Kol she'mutar? It should have just said, Kol she'oichel, as long as I'm allowed to eat, I can feed it. Amar Rabbi Ula, you're right. The Mishnah is not going according to Meir. The Mishnah is going according to Gamliel. He, the Tanan, Gamliel Omer, Chulin Nechon Kol Arba. Chametz that's Chulin, that's not Truma, can be eaten the fourth hour. Truma, however, it's Truma, and as we explained in the previous parak, we don't want to burn Truma. We don't want to take the Truma to waste unless I have no other option. So I even though Chulin, I don't let you eat past the fourth hour, Chazal don't let us eat past the fourth hour, Truma, they give us an extra hour. The Sofen, but Rav Gamliel agrees that the Sreifas Chametz takes place with Tchila Sheish. V'achakamer. So our Mishnah is saying like this, Kol Shah Shemut Alechel Koyin B'Truma, during the time, the fifth hour, where Koyin may eat the Truma, Yisrael Machel Chulin B'Behema. Then that hour, even though the Yisrael may not eat the Chulin, so he has no way of eating Chametz, because Truma is not allowed to eat, and Chulin, there is Osir, still, the Mishnah is telling us, since the Koyin may eat Truma, I can at least give my animals the Truma to be eaten. So our Mishnah is going according to Bekiv or Gamliel, and the terminology of Kosha Shemotar Lechel is referring to the Kayan, that's person one. Machel is going on to Yisrael. There's only one question left, the Pnei Yeshua asks. The Pnei Yeshua asks that the way we're explaining our Mishnah now, our Mishnah is going according to Gamliel. But we know that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Gamliel, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So Pnei Yeshua says that the main point of our Mishnah is not so much to teach when I'm allowed to versus eat and when I'm allowed to feed. The main point of my Mishnah is to tell me that when I'm not allowed to eat, I'm also not allowed to feed. I'm not allowed to have anor. That din certainly works according to Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah is not a contradiction to saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So our Mishnah said that as long as I'm allowed to have anor from the chametz, the halacha is machal behem l'chay l'oifis. I could give it both to domesticated animals, undomesticated animals, and birds. And the question is, why do I have to list every one of these types of living things? Says the Gemara, Lebehema lechai leoifis lomeli lemisna. Lomeli lemisna behema, lomeli lemisna chaya. Why do I have to mention domesticated animals and undomesticated animals separately? Answers the Gemara, tzricha. They have to be, each one has to be listed. Ditana behema. Had I only mentioned the animal, I would say di mishairi, an animal, if it doesn't eat up all the food it's given, it leaves it where it is. Chazile. So let's say I'll feed the domesticated animal chametz, and it doesn't eat it up. I will see it, and like Rashi says, either I'll be mevatalit, and once I do bittel, midarais, the chametz is not mine, or I'll actually, like Tosfos says, actually destroy it, and I won't have a problem. But by a undomesticated animal that we learned in the previous parak, the mishaira, when it has leftover chametz, it doesn't just leave it there. What does it do? Kamatznalei, it puts it away. So aim, I would say loy, that I should not be allowed to give the chametz to the animal, to the undomesticated animal, to the chaya, even though it's mutar b'hanah, because I'd be concerned that the animal we'll put it away, and I'll be left with chametz and my rishus. That's why we had to say chaya. V'itan chaya, if I would have only mentioned chaya, di mishaira, if a chaya leaves over chametz, mios matzna, it puts it away, it hides it. And therefore, since it hides it, we said when we started the mesechta, there are two lavim when you have chametz. by your raw or by your matzah. You're not allowed to own it, and it shouldn't seem by you. So yes, by chaya, if it puts it away, you'll be over by your matzah, but you won't be over by your raw, because it's not seen, it hides it. Av behema, by an animal, zimna the mishaira, the animal may leave over the chametz, v'loy masak atete, and it's Erev Pesach, it's a busy time, I won't pay attention, by your raw, by your matzah, and therefore, I will be over two laven, both by your raw and by your matzah, because it's not hidden. That's why, I should think I should not be allowed to give it to an animal, even in the time where it's mutter bahana. That's why tzricha, we had to mention both behem and chaya. So the Ran asks obvious question. The Gemara is going from one side to the other. First, the Gemara says that the fact that a chaya puts it away is a problem. And then the Gemara says the fact that a chaya puts it away is not a problem. Is it or isn't it? So the Ran explains that in the first side of the Gemara thought that since I know that chayis, it's their derech, it's their way they act, that they always put away the chametz, so when I give a chayah chametz, it's as if I'm beferish allowing the animal to hide chametz in my rishus on Pesach, and it should be aser. The Gemara on the second side holds, no, I didn't ask the animal, I didn't direct the animal to put away the chametz, and therefore it should not be considered as if I did it explicitly. But Tosfos quotes the Rashi with a different question. Here we're saying that the fact that a chayah puts away the chametz, hides the chametz, makes it less of a problem. Ask the Rashi, in the previous parak we learned that, if you remember, that after we do Bedikas chametz, the Gemara said be very careful to put the chametz in a secluded area, because we're worried about a chaya coming and taking the chametz and putting it in a secluded area. Here we're saying putting it in a secluded area is a milah. It's a good thing. So Tosfos answers there are two types of chayas. There are chayas like a chasul, like a weasel, that takes the chametz and hides it, and you'll never be able to find it. That's a big problem. That's what we referred to in the previous parak. That's why the Mishnah says put it away, that the chasul shouldn't be able to get to it. The chayah we're speaking about in our Gemara is an animal that puts away the chametz but doesn't conceal it that much. So it'll be easy for me to find, and therefore I won't be over. I could find it, and it's not the same type of a problem. Now, there's another question. Mashal says, from here we see that if chametz is put in a concealed area, there's no issue of Baal Yiroh. There's Baal Yimotzeh, but no Baal Yiroh. Says the Mashal, not everybody agrees with the Mashal, but the Mashal says, when is this heter applied? When I don't know if I have chametz in my rishus. I don't know if I have chametz in rishus. Ain't a yidua, and it's not visible. I'm not over Baal Yiroh. But let's say, says the Mashal, that I know for sure that there's chametz in my rishus. Even though it's not visible, I'm already over Baal Yiroh. Other Achrayin and the Pnei Yeshua disagree with the Mashal, and they say, if it's not visible, you're not over by Yiroh, whether you know it exists or don't know it exists. So now we proved why we need the Mishnah to mention both Chaya and Behema. But then the Mishnah said Oifis. Why do we need Oifis? Oifis Lomeli. Why did the Mishnah have to mention birds? Answers the Gemara. I did a ton of Behema v'chaya. Since the Mishnah already mentioned Behema v'chaya, and we just explained why we needed to mention both, that's why Tanin Ami Oifis, even though there's nothing really new to learn with Oifis. And the halach is, you're allowed to sell the chametz as long as it's mutter b'hana to a goy. And like we explained when we started the shir, this is the basis for mechiras chametz. Just to speak about mechiras chametz for 1 second, a shayla, very important shayla. The shayla goes two ways. What's going to be the halacha if somebody is traveling, he lives in America, his chametz is in America, and he travels to Israel for Yontif. And in Israel, the Zman is 7 hours before. So, and he sells his chametz. Where should he sell his chametz? So the Paiskim pretty much all say that he should sell his chametz in Israel. Because the Isser, a Bayirah, Bayimotzah, is on the Gavr, it's on the person. So if I'm in Israel, and I own chametz, when the Zman comes, even though the chametz is in Chutz Laretz, I'll be over. Now, if I sell it to a Rav in America, the Rabbanim in America make that the Mechira should only be effective by the Zman. because it's just 7 hours earlier. So therefore, you should sell your chametz in Israel. What about the other way? Let's say you live in Israel, and you're in America for Yontif. So could you sell your chametz to a Rav in America, even though the chametz is in Israel, and the mechira is only effective after the time of Isser in Israel, or could you sell it, do you have to sell it in Israel? There the Paiskim say that it's certainly preferable to sell it in Israel, but if you sell it in Chutz Laaretz, since as we said a moment ago, the chametz go, the Isser is dependent on you, and where you are, it'll be effective. So ask the Gemara Pshita, of course you're allowed to sell it to a guy. If it's Mutabah, no, I could sell it. Answers the Gemara Lefuki Meitana. What we're trying to say is that we don't agree with something Beis Shammai says. Tanya, Beis Shammai Omrim, La'yimka Adam Chemsu L'Nachri, and now I say Chams to a guy, Elam Ken Yodeya Boi Shiyichto Kanon Pesach. Beis Shammai says that you have to make sure that all the Chametz that you owned is not going to be in the world by Pesach. So if you're going to sell Chametz to a guy, and the guy may still have the Chametz on Pesach, you shouldn't do that. That's why Amish is telling us, no, you could sell the chametz an hour before this man, where the chametz will certainly be in existence during Pesach. As long as I'm allowed to eat it, I'm allowed to sell it, which is exactly what the Mishnah paskins. Yehuda ben Beseira says, kutach. Kutach was a dip that was made out of moldy bread and sour milk. The kamine kutach, all different varieties, os limka shlosh miyom kodem lePesach. You're not allowed to sell for 30 days before Pesach. Why? So Rashi explains that Yehuda ben Beseir in principle agrees with Beis Shammai that I'm not allowed to have my chametz in existence. If I owned it, it's not allowed to be in existence anymore on Pesach. But he says like this: most chametz, if you sell it, it's used up pretty quickly. If I sell a goy a loaf of bread, I sell him a roll, he eats it up in a day or two. Kutach takes a long time to use up. Therefore, I can't sell it to him for 30 days before Pesach because I'm concerned that he will still have it on Yontif. Now, most Rishonim say that the Mishnah is not coming to tell us that we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. We certainly don't paskin like Beis Shammai. We never paskin like Beis Shammai, B'makom Beis Hillel, in a Mishnah. The Chiddush is that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. That's what our Mishnah is teaching us. Now, the question is, according to Rashi, the Rashi is saying that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is a variation, is going according to Beis Shammai. What is the difference between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Beis Shammai? Is there a difference? So Rabbi Yosef Engel says a very beautiful pshat. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, when is this man that I'm not allowed to sell a goy chametz? 30 days before Yontif. If I have a concern that the goy will still have the chametz on Yontif. What about before 30 days before Yontif? According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, I should be allowed to sell it. What's Beis Shammai going to hold? When Beis Shammai says, I'm not allowed to sell a goy chametz before Pesach, what happens if I know that this chametz is going to last a long time? I sell him something that lasts a long time, or I sell him a lot of chametz. So most, Rabbi Yosef Engel says, that Beis Shammai is going to hold, and I can't even sell it 60 days in advance, 100 days in advance. What are the machlaikas? So Rabbi Yosef Engel explains the machlaikas very beautifully. He says, the machlaikas is that according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, the Zman begins 30 days before Pesach. We learned that the Zman for Pesach begins 30 days before Pesach. Before that is not considered the Pesach season. So I don't have to be thinking about Pesach before 30 days before Yontif. So even if I sell a goy chametz, and even if it's going to last to Pesach, it is before 30 days. It's not yet Pesach. We don't have to think about it. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, holds that as long as I know, or as long as I have a reason to be concerned, that this chametz will be in existence during Pesach, it makes no difference if it's 30 days. It could be even before 30 days, I'm not allowed to sell it to a guy. Tosfos, however, has a whole different approach. Tosfos says that Yehuda ben Beseira is saying his halacha even according to Beis Hillel. Even though Beis Hillel paskin, that we said a moment ago, that you're allowed to sell chametz to a guy till right before this man, that's only bread, rolls, that's not noticeable that a Jew sold this chametz to a guy. But kutach, he said, everybody had their own recipe, their own formula, and the kutach was very unique. So if I, Moshe Elephant, sell kutach to a guy, it's not just called kutach. It's not called a roll. It's not called bread. It's called Moshe Elephant kutach. So now, if you'll see a guy using this kutach on Pesach, you'll think that I sold it to him on Pesach. And therefore, even Beis Hillel will agree that you're not allowed to sell kutach, or something that's distinctive to a goy, before Pesach, if there's a reason to believe it will remain in existence on Pesach. And the Divrei Chaim in the Tshuvas uses this Tosfos for a very interesting concept. He says, let's say somebody owns a business that he wants to be open on Shabbos, and he wants to sell the business for Shabbos to a goy. So he says, if the business is known to be a Jew's business, it has my name on the store, so what Tosfos says, that since it's distinctive and known that it's owned by a Jew, so just by selling it, people don't know I sold it, it's Osir, it'll be Osir to sell it to a goy for Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Umut Bahano. It's Mutabano till this man. Ask the Gemara, of course, Pshita. All these things that we learned in the Mishnah that you're allowed to do it all indicate that it's Mutabano. What's the Mishnah repeating it for? Answer the Gemara, Leitzricha Shecharchai Kaidim Zmanai. The Mishnah is teaching us that you burnt the Chametz before this man is, sir. The Kamashman, the Mishnah is teaching us the Rava. Rava's Din. Dama Rava. Chorchai Kaidim Zmanai. If you burnt the Chametz before this man, you're allowed to have hanor from this chametz. It loses the status of chametz because it was burnt before this man. I feel like his man. Now, as machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how much do you have to burn it? According to Rashi, as long as it's nifsal mechilas adam, it's not edible to people, it's already considered burnt. Tosfos is more machmer. Tosfos says that it has to be nifsal mechilas kelef, that it should be not edible even to a dog. Now, this Gemara is the basis for a very fundamental Shaila. The Shaila involves the issue, and I don't want to get into it too much in depth, just to touch on it, about taking medicines that had in it chametz, let's say you have a chametz ingredient, that the chametz is not edible, it's a chemical, it's an alcohol. So it's charchoi kaidus manoi. Now the question is, now you want to eat that medicine on Pesach, may you or not. Of course, it's a double poshet. If it's a shayla of sakonas nefashos, you're allowed to do anything. We're not dealing with the issue of sakonas nefashos. So it's really a machlokes rishonim now gemara between the Baal HaMor and the Rosh. Because the Baal HaMor points out, the gemara says, muta b'hano. Why does Mishnah say muta b'hano? It should say muta b'achila. It's mashma, says the Baal HaMor, that only hano you're allowed to have from it. But achila would be asr. Why is achila asr? Because if you go and you eat it, it shows achshavei that it's not considered destroyed. If it's destroyed, why would you be eating it? And therefore, if you eat it, it's asr. The Rosh disagrees. The Rosh says that the Gemara is talking about hanor, so mentions hanor. But once it was disqualified before this man, it's mutter on Pesach even for eating.
Taking a pill considered eating?
So then there's another shayla, even if you can agree that achshavei, not a shayla, is taking a pill considered eating, because it's shloike derech hanechasa, it's not really eating, it's just taking a medicine. That's if you hold it's a problem. If you hold it's not achshavei, then you don't have to come on to shloike derech achila. But this gemara is also relevant the other way. The Paiskim say that a lot of people, what they do is, before they burn the chametz, they want that the chametz should be burned well, so they pour on it gasoline or kerosene. Again, I'm not talking about a safety issue. I'm talking about a halach issue. They say you shouldn't do it because you want to burn chametz, which is real chametz. And by burning it, you mekayim the mitzvah, like we learned and we'll learn, of tashvisu. But if you make it totally disqualified because you pour on it kerosene or gasoline, then by the time you're burning it, it's not chametz anyway, because our Gemara just told us that if you burn it, that if you're disqualified, it's no longer chametz. So it's better that at least at the beginning of the burning, the chametz should be intact without having been affected with these foul-tasting chemicals. Bechlal, the Pais can discuss, we're going to speak about it, so I'll mention it quickly, that you should try not to do the burning of the chametz at night. Even though, let's say, you do a b'dikas chametz at night, you have the chametz, you intend not to have any more chametz, you want to get it out, you'll burn it. So they say it's not l'chatchila to burn it at night, because if you burn it at night, we learned that you're supposed to do bittel a second time by day. So what will remind you to do bittel? The fact that you burn it. And while you're burning it, you'll do bittel. But if you're not going to burn it again, if you're not going to burn it by day, you only burn it at night, you may forget to do bittel a second time. Continue the Gemara. Avos manoi, osu b'hanosai. After the time, you're not allowed to have anor. Ask the Gemara Pshita, it's simple. So Rashi points out, takes out the word pshita. Why? Because we're going to learn that there's a shita of Rabbi Yosef Aglili that says that you're allowed to have hanor from chametz on Pesach. So that's why it's not pshita. Tosfos says that the word pshita is appropriate. Why isn't Rashi right? Maybe we're going according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So Tosfos says our Mishnah clearly doesn't agree with Rabbi Yosef Aglili, because our Mishnah talks about burning the chametz. According to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, you don't have to burn the chametz. So it's obvious that our Mishnah is not going according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So then if it's not going according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, so of course after this man it's Osbando, answers the Gemara L'tzrich L'shas D'Rabbanan. The Mishnah is teaching us that even in the time where Midrabbanan it's Osir, Midrais it's Mutter, still you're not allowed to have Hanor. As a Gemara that we learned earlier on Dav Zayin, Tamar Rav Gidl Amar Rav Chi Bar Yosef Amar Rav Yochanan HaMekadish M'shei Shos L'mala. If somebody's Mekadish a woman with Chometz after the sixth hour, a feel of a chutik kardinaisa and chashin l'kedushin. Even if he used this chametz, the kedushin is not valid. Why? Because according to Rabbanan, that kedushin is not a valid kedushin because the chametz is asur bahano. So there's really three ways of explaining this gemara. One way of explaining the gemara is that this item here is chametz, but it's now only the hour where it's asur midrabbanan, not midraisa, and still the kedushin is not a kedushin. Another way of explaining the Gemara, is the way Tosfos explained it in Daf Zayin, is that this item is not really chametz midaraisa; it's chametz noiksha. And now we're talking about when it's already after this man; it's the daraisa diga time, but the chametz is only the rabbanan diga chametz, and still the kedushin is not a kedushin. And a third way of learning the Gemara is that there are two reasons here; there are two things here. First of all, it's not really chametz; it's only chametz with rabbanan, and that's the way Nadav Yehuda learns. And secondly, it's only as man where it's awesome at the Rabbanon, and still the Kedushin is not a Kedushin. Why isn't the Kedushin not a Kedushin? So Rashi taught us, because Kol Mekadosh Adas the Rabbanon Mekadosh, that every Kedushin that's made is made with the condition that it's valid according to Rabbanon, and this Kedushin is not valid because the Rabbanon said that Chametz is awesome Hanah. The Rosh explains it along the same lines, just with this Knech. He says that to be Mekadosh in Isha, the item that you give her to affect the Kedushin has to have value. Since Chazal said that this item is Osu B'Hanah, so it has no value. It's not Shava Pruta, it's not even worth a Pruta. And a Kedushin that's going to be affected with something that's not Shava Pruta is not a Kedushin. V'layasik b'itani v'krayim. We learned in the Mishnah you can't use it for fuel. Ask the Gemara Pshita, of course, if it's Osu B'Hanah, you can't use it for fuel. Answers the Gemara, L'tzrich L'Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah is going according to Yehuda that says, the Omer ain't be chametz el sreifa. The only way to burn chametz is by burning it. Sal k'data chamina. Says the Gemara, I would think, Ho'il v'Omer Rabbi Yehuda mitzvos b'sreifa. Since Rabbi Yehuda says that the way you're supposed to get rid of the chametz is by burning it. So v'hadid the kasar flay. L'shanim inay, while I'm burning it, I should be allowed to have hanah, k'mash m'lan that I'm not to. So the way Tosfos explains the Gemara is very beautiful. He says like this, according to Rabbanan, of course I'm not allowed to have Hanah from the chametz while I'm burning it. If it's after this man, it's also by Hanah. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says that the way to get rid of the chametz is by burning it, so perhaps what the Torah is telling us, says the Gemara, according to Tosfos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that since I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, the Torah told me to burn the chametz. That's the way the Torah wants me to get rid of the chametz. So while I'm doing what the Torah tells me, I should be allowed to have hanah, k'mash malon, that the Torah taka tells you to burn it, but the Torah didn't give you permission to have hanah while you're doing the burning process. Omer Chizkiya, says the Gemara, Chizkiya tells us, menayin l'chametz v'pesach sh'os v'hanah. How do we know that chametz during Pesach is os v'hanah? Shenemar lo ye'ochel chametz. The Torah uses the language lo ye'ochel, it should not be eaten. It doesn't say lo yochel, don't eat it. When you look, the way it's supposed to pronounce is lo yochel, it should not be made to be eaten. And like Rashi explains, that even not only the chametz itself, but anything that's a derivative of the chametz, which is lo yochel, is osu b'hanah. Lo yehebay het achila, you're not allowed to have any hanah from it. Says the Gemara, tam the kos rachmana lo yochel chametz. So what's the Gemara? What's the reason that you now have hanor from chametz? Because the Torah used the terminology of lo ye'ochel chametz. How loy cost of lo ye'ochel? Had the Torah not used such a terminology, have amin, and then I would say, is achila mashma, that you take now to eat it, is a hanor loy mashma, but you'll have to have benefit from it. Says the Gemara, pligad rabavua. What Chizkiya says is in disagreement to something Rav Avuha taught us. Dom Rav Avuha, Rav Avuha taught us, kol makom shenema lo yoichel, wherever the Torah uses a terminology, don't eat, lo yoichel, all different types of don't eating, echer es achilav, echer es ha'anor mashma. The Torah is teaching us that you're not allowed to have benefit. So even according to Rav Avuha, had the Torah not used this pronunciation of lo yoichel, it would still be also bahano. At Shifla Kosev, the only time it's muta bahano is at the Torah specifically tells you Kedar Shapartlcha bin Nevela. Like the Torah told us by Nevela that even though the Torah uses the language like Sachi, not allowed to eat a Nevela, Nevela is an animal that died without Shechita, or without proper Shechita, that there the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to have a no. That's the exception. Normally, where it says leisoichel, even without the special pronunciation, hanor is also. Now, the Mefarshim point out, we're going to spend the next two shiurim, this, the rest of today's shiur and the next shiur, discussing this issue of leisoichel, including issa hanor. So they say, if it means issa hanor, like Ravu is teaching us, the Torah should have said leisoichel, don't have hanor. Why did the Torah say leisoichel? And then I have to say, it means issa hanor. Just say, don't have ano. So they say, many Mefarshim say this, that the Torah is trying to teach us that how much is the amount that there's issa hano from, the amount which is a shir achila, which is the shir achila is a kazayas. If it would say, don't have ano, we would say, what's the shir of ano? A pruta. Here the Torah says that we don't measure it in hano values, which is a pruta, we'd rather measure it in a chila measurement, which is a kezayis. Ainly el get the tanya, lo sochel kol nevela. The Torah says you're not allowed to give it, you're not allowed to eat a nevela.
Is that for the
deraisa
hana?
For deraisa.
Because otherwise, if you have an ingredient in the pill, so it
wouldn't. Lager shav shirechet nena. Give it to either the ger toishiv. This is a person who's non-Jewish that lives amongst your mitzvahs, that's mekayim the zayim mitzvahs bnei noach. I mach lenachru esal to a guy. Ainly el ger ben asina. I would say that I'm allowed to give it to a ger or lenachru mechira or sell it to a guy. Leger ben mechira menayim. How do I know that I'm allowed to sell it to a ger? Tamalaymar leger shabeshirech that nano or mach lenachri. Since the Torah connects them, it means I can either give it or sell it. How do I know? That's how I know that I can either sell it or give it to a ger. How do I know I'm allowed to give it to a guy? What's the bottom line? Both by a ger toishiv and by a guy, the halacha is beim mechira beim nesina. You could give it or sell it. Divremei. As the mashal, Tosfos really starts with this kasha, and the mashal goes further. He says there's a halacha of loisachonim, loititen lahem maknas chinam. You're not allowed to give a guy a present for no reason. So how does the pasuk allow us to give a guy a nevela? We have a problem loisachonim. So Tosfos in Masechta Avodah Zarah answers that we're talking here about a guy that is somebody you know, and therefore, since he's your acquaintance, he's your friend, so when you give it to him, it's not for no reason. That's part of the friendship. Another teretz the Rishonim give is that since the nevela doesn't really have a lot of value, Tosfos explains that in their environment, that Jews lived in a Jewish neighborhood and they didn't transport meat, they didn't have refrigeration. So nevela had very, very little value. So you're not giving him anything of real value. Where is this relevant? I'll tell you where it's relevant. Let's say somebody doesn't want to sell his chametz and he has an expensive bottle of schnapps. and it's already the Zman, Erev Pesach, and he wants to give it to a Goy. So is he allowed to give it to a Goy? So according to these two Rutsim, if it's a Goy that's your acquaintance, is your neighbor, you're allowed to. Or even if it's not an acquaintance or a neighbor, since at that point it has really no value, because chametz right before Pesach, go to the store and buy chametz right before Pesach, they'll give it to you, they can't get rid of it, so it has no real value, so there's no issue of lo sechanim. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Dvarim kiksavim, they have to follow the pasuk as it says. Leger b'nesina, a ger you have to give it to. Lenachim b'mechira, and to goy you have to sell it to. My tam de Rav Yehuda. Why? What's the basis for Rav Yehuda's reasoning? He says, "Isal kedatech could am Rameya. If Rameya was correct, you could do either lichtoiv rachmana legeresh b'shiracha tetnanavach lo emacher. Oy lamali. Why did the Torah have to separate the two ways of being able to get rid of the nevela with the word oy? Shema minal dvarim kiksavim. A ger you give it to, and a goy you sell it to. Rameya oy lahagdim." Oy, what's the oy teaching us? That you should give nesina the ger lemechir de nachri. It's preferable to give it to a ger than to sell it to a guy. Ask the Rishonim, if I could do business with this, I could sell it, why do I have to give it away for free? So they answer, like we said a moment ago, since it really has no very significant value, that's why the Torah says, give it to the ger before selling it to the guy. Vermeya, Ramey says, so maybe that's what the pasuk is teaching us. It says Ramey, Ila Hagdim, the Sina, the Ger, the Mechirat. Ramey, Ila Hagdim, the Sina, the Ger, the Mechirat, the Nachri. That's what the pasuk is teaching us. Give it to the Ger before selling it to the guy. Rabbi Huda, Holo Tzar Kra. For that, I don't need a pasuk. Keeping the Ger Atam at Suvalach Yosei. Since we have the obligation to support these Gerim. We don't have obligation to support the goyim. I don't need a pasuk to teach me that I should go it first. Svarhu, it's obvious, logical. So the oy must come to teach us that ger you give it, goy you sell it.